Well, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 2. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you, man. Matthew chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 2. And we're in a message series entitled Living My Best Life. And we all want to live our best life, right? Nobody wakes up and thinks, man, I'm going to crash and burn before lunch today. Man, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to fizzle out before this afternoon. It's going to be fantastic. We don't think like that. And it's God who puts those desires in us. Last week, we talked about purpose. The first key to living your best life is to know your purpose. If you were not here, please download the message. Listen to it. Download our app. And on our app, you can hear all our previous messages. And also on the app, you can follow along in today's message with my message notes, all right? But here's another key. The key to living your best life is to know your identity. Know your identity. And it's gonna kind of dovetail, if you will, with last week, to know your purpose, and today, know your identity. And here's what identity is. Here is a very simple definition. It's the qualities inside of you and beliefs. It's how you see yourself that distinguish who a person is. It's the qualities, the gifts that God gave you, and it's your belief system and how you believe you are, or how you believe about yourself, that distinguishes you. Now, for me, my definition is my true self. It's your true self. And this is very important that we get this, that we know who we are, because everything we do, every decision you make is founded in the understanding of who you are. It's founded in that in the understanding of who you are. In several weeks, on March 3rd, we're starting our Growth Track, and it's a four-week class. And it's those that are new to Key Point Church, maybe new to Christianity, and I would encourage you to go through it. The third Sunday of every month is going to be Know Your Purpose. And I would encourage you to be a part of that as we start it in March. It's called our Growth Track. It'll be Know Jesus, Experience Life, Know Your Purpose, and Make a Difference. And that's going to be exciting. But we're going to focus on identity. We're going to focus on purpose on that third week. But speaking of identity, there's been many people that have passed through my life that God has given me the opportunity to encourage and influence as a pastor. And one of the things I like to do is to encourage people to be the leader that God has called them to be. And I remember this particular day, and I saw this young man walk in the building, and he was hard to miss. He was a couple of biscuits over 400 pounds, all right? He was a big boy, all right? He was tall. His shoulders were wide. He had massive biceps. He had tree trunks for legs. And what struck me to be interesting was that he had probably about 10 or 15 people with him. And his name was Mike. We quickly renamed him to Big Mike, all right? Everywhere Big Mike went, he had people with him. You could call it his posse, his partners in crime, whichever day it was for him, you know, you could call it something different. But one thing we noticed about Mike was that he had a ton of potential. He had a ton of potential, but he often fell short to reaching his potential. We would encourage him and challenge him. It wasn't because he didn't know he had potential. He knew he had potential to be a leader. He saw it. He knew people flocked to him. They listened to him. If he said the sky was red, they did too, all right? It wasn't because he was a bad person. What we realized was this dynamic of identity. He was missing the mark. He was making poor choices and falling short because he failed to understand who he really was. In short, he was having an identity crisis. He was listening to the wrong voices. And that's something you've got to understand. Write this down. Voices shape our identity. And he was allowing the wrong voices to shape how he thought about himself. Voices. Come on, everybody, say voice. Voices shape your identity. Right now, there's voices that have and are shaping you. There is a constant battle for your identity. Every day we are bombarded 24/7 with voices from all over. We can't get away from them, that are vying for your identity. It's no wonder many people here in America, in fact around the world, are having an identity crisis. So here's the question. Ask yourself this question: whose voice is shaping my identity? Whose voice is shaping your identity? Is it the voice of your background? Now, this one plays a large part in our identity, a large part in forming what we believe about ourselves, how we were raised, where we were raised. Were we raised in the North or the South? Were we raised on the East Coast or the West Coast? Were we raised in the country? Are we raised in the inner city? Were we raised in a suburb, or were we raised across the tracks? And in addition to where you were raised and how you were raised, you also can include who you were raised with, those in your life that spoke to you. Did you have a mother and father that loved you or abandoned you, that formed, and that was a voice that shaped you? Were you shown affection as a child and as a teenager, or were you criticized? Couldn't do anything right. A lot of our identity is formed in those years. Maybe the voice of socioeconomic formed you. And this has to do how you grew up, the financial status that you grew up in, as well as the financial status that you're in now. It plays a large part. Maybe it's the loud voice or opinion of culture. Come on, somebody. Culture. Culture has a loud voice, has multiple platforms that speak to us in many different ways. Man, we got Facebook, we've got Instagram, we've got Twitter. God forbid we go on Snapchat and start listening to everyone's opinions and advice on how we should act, how we should dress, how we should think, how we should vote. You got YouTube and this tube and that tube and thousands of TV channels at our disposal, and if you're not intentional about rejecting them, then chances are you're listening to them. Now, let me say something here. Let me be balanced here, all right? Here at Key Point Church, we strive for balance, because the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, all right? We want to be balanced, you know? So I'm not being extreme and saying, don't go home and watch the Grammys tonight, you know? Throw away all your secular music, you know? That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, pay attention to what is shaping your identity, especially through culture. I need to hear amen right there, all right? I'm here to be your pastor. I don't want to just be an entertainer up here. I want to help you become more like Jesus. And this is huge. All right, I'm going to go there, all right? Let's say you go home today and you listen to Marvin Gaye. I'm talking about music now, all right? Now, once again, I'm not saying throw all music to the curb and just listen to nothing but Christian music, all right? I'm eclectic. I love everything from rock and roll to reggae to rap. I love it all right? But I understand the power of culture through music, all right? Let's say you go home today and you listen to Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, all right? Come on, somebody. I'm going to keep it PG-13 in here, all right? All right? I promise you, after you listen to that song, you're not going to want to go cut the grass, all right? All right, let's move on, all right? All right, there you go. All right, friends play a huge role when it comes to shape. The people you hang around with shape you. If you don't pay attention, they'll start influencing you, how you think and how you act and how you talk. So choose wisely. That's why we do life groups. Life group is not just another program. This is not a programmed type of church. This is a church that focuses people on Jesus and others. And we want to make sure we do what God has called us to do. And people are a large part of that. He designed us with the need of Him and others. The last several weeks, we have launched into a fantastic, it's our best semester ever when it comes to life groups. I would encourage you to go online, keypoint.church, and get in a life group. Choose your people or your friends wisely. And then here's one, random voices. Random voices have shaped so many of us, and I think it's it's kind of second-handed. For example, it could have been a boss that said, "Huh, I'm not choosing you, I'm going to choose them." And they didn't even have to say anything to you. But just because they chose them over you, you heard a voice saying, "You're not good enough." It could have been a teacher who said, "You don't need to be in that honors class. We're going to put you over here. You need remedial math." And you heard that voice where, "You're not smart enough." It could have been a coach who said, no, "You're playing right field." And we all know where what right field is, you know. In the major leagues, they make like $12 million a year. But for some reason, we think that's like the worst whenever we play Little League. But anyway, I digress. It's the random voices. For me, it was one of my uncles. In fact, it was three of them. My mother has three brothers, and they were all in high school when I was 5, 6, and 7 years old. So I was the life of the party, and I was always going with them. And one of them played football for one of the big high schools in Baton Rouge, and they called me Spot, because I had big freckles on my face. Well, what did you think that made me do? Why are they calling me Spot? My name's Casey. Well, I would go to the mirror and look and see the spots, and because of their words, now they were just having fun. And they were my uncles, and I've loved them, and I still love them today, but those words begin to shape how I thought about myself. Well, I got spots. And here's the one that really sunk in deep, is when they started saying things like this: "Man, his front teeth are so bucked, he can eat corn on the cob through a picket fence." And we'd all laugh, ha, 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 ha. But I would constantly be making sure my lip was over my two front teeth, because they were like huge chiclets, all right, sticking out like this. I make Daffy Duck look like an elementary, all right? But it began to shape my identity. I had a friend in elementary, one of his teachers told him that he wasn't going to amount to anything because he wasn't smart. You're not going to excel in Scholastic, so you might as well just stop. So he would go to school just to get in fights, and he was good at fighting. He was strong, and he liked all the ladies at school, so he'd go get him a lady and beat up all the boys. Why study? I'm not smart, because she said I'm not smart, so I'm dumb. I'm a loser. Goes to Exxon to get a job. They said, "Well, sir, let me see your resume." "Well, I have nothing. Nothing. I'm not smart." They said, "Well, you need to take a test." It was an IQ test. They came back. They said, "Sir, you scored the highest on this IQ test ever in the history of us at Exxon Chemical giving this test. You're in the top percent of the smartest people in America." And he's like, "Excuse me? Surely that wasn't my test." "No, it's your test." What happened? He switched his identity from being a loser and not smart to, "I'm one of the smartest in America," and was one of the most successful men that ever walked on the face of this earth. His name was Billy Hornsby. All because of a voice that shaped his identity. Random voice. And then here's the one that we all deal with every day. It's Satan. It's Satan. John chapter 8 refers to him as a liar. John chapter 8 verse 44 says, "When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, what he'll do is he'll use situations of your past background, socioeconomic background, even your current socioeconomic status. He'll use random voices. He'll use situations in your past. And let's say a friend rejects you. They turn their back on you and do something that breaks your trust. And he'll begin to use that situation and say, "Oh, you'll never be a friend. Who are you to be a friend? You can't love someone unconditionally. It's your fault that they did that to you. Your family breaks down. All hell breaks loose, maybe with a child, or your marriage is on the rocks." The enemy comes in and begins to say, "You'll never be a good spouse. You can't be a good wife or a good husband. You won't be a good dad because you didn't have a dad. You're from a divorced family." And he'll use your background and begin to say lies. He'll say lies. He will lie. "You know what I have discovered? He's a liar." And furthermore, it's not how you start, but it's how you begin, amen? Which makes this next point very important. Write this down. The voice you listen to will determine your destination. The voices that have shaped you will determine your destination. Let me show you two people who listen to two very different voices, all right? The first one is Adam. In the book of Genesis, the first man. Adam brought sin into the world, consequently creating an identity crisis. Then you have the second man. His name is Jesus. He's also known as the second Adam. But Jesus came to reverse that. Jesus came to set us free, amen? Consequently giving you and I the ability to discover our true identity, all right? Genesis chapter 3. I don't have time to go there and develop the story, but here it is, real briefly. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they realized for the first time that they were naked, which meant that they were incomplete and imperfect. And God seeks them out. I love that part of the story. Because on their worst day, God sought them out. Come on, I need to hear amen right there. Some of you had a bad week, maybe even a bad day. But I'm telling you, your God is still seeking you out, all right? He seeks them out and he asks them a question. A question. He asks them a question. And here's the question. Who told you, verse 11 of Genesis 3, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? In other words, whose voice have you been listening to? Adam said, well, it was Eve's voice I listened to. Eve said, well, it was Satan's voice that I listened to. And I believe what God asked the question was to show each of them that they were not listening to the right voice. They were listening to the wrong voice, and it shaped their identity. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 3. You got to get this, all right? Come on, raise your hand if you're going to give me one more minute, all right? That's 1, 2, 3. That's about 20 more minutes, right? All right, strap it on, all right? Because here's the meat, all right? Matthew chapter 3, here is Jesus. He's entering into his ministry. Up to this point, all he has been doing was carpentry work. John the Baptist is down at the river, baptizing people, converting Jews into Christianity. Jesus wanted to go public with his Christianity. So he goes down to the river, he gets in the line, he goes into the water. John the Baptist realizes, this is Jesus, the Messiah, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to walk in. You baptize me, Jesus. Jesus says, no, you baptize me. John said, no, I can't. You baptize me. Jesus said, nope. You have got to baptize me, or Jeremiah's prophecy will be wrong. John the Baptist said, you got a valid point? Come on, I'll baptize you. He baptizes Jesus, and I want you to watch what happens when he comes out the water. Get ready, all right? When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice. God didn't waste any time to go ahead and speak his identity. Why? Because he wanted to be the first person that spoke his identity, because he knew Satan was about to come to speak a lie. Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He was declaring, he's mine. He's my beloved. That word in the Greek means he's affirmed and he's esteemed. He's favored. He said, and this is my son. I am your father and I acknowledge you. And this is where it just kind of goes over the top. He says, I'm well pleased with you. Pleased with what? When someone says that they're pleased with you, it implies that a service has been done that they're grateful for. Why did God say that? Jesus hadn't performed one miracle yet, hadn't prayed for one person yet, hadn't preached the Beatitudes yet. But yet, on the front end, God wanted to say, before you do anything for me, I'm going to let you know right now, I'm pleased with who you are. Why is that? Because he wanted Jesus to know that your identity is not in what you do, but your identity is in who you are. And so many people get hung up with that. Well, I'm this or I'm that. And I see when people retire, they feel like the world has ended because their identity was all wrapped up in the certain career. And it's not. So if you're retired, you're just starting, all right? Your identity is in who God says you are. And you're valuable to this church. We need you. The millennials need you. The young people need you to speak and prophesy over their lives. Let's not get so wrapped up in our identity being in what we do, but who he says we are. And then in Galatians 2:20, man, this is powerful. You got to get this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about who he was in God, all right? Verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, he says, my old identity. In other words, I have become a Christ follower. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm a new creature now. My old identity is gone, and it has been crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified with him, and now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. I love this. For the anointed one lives in his life through me. That's what it means to be a Christian. Not just I'm going to church or I'm part of a life group. Man, it's beyond that. His anointing lives in me. The old has gone, and now I identify with Jesus, and we live in union as one. He goes on to say, my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me. Before you were even created, he died for you. And here's the power, dispenses his life into mine. Wow. Please understand that your true self, our true identity, is found only in Jesus. And in Jesus means your identity before God has changed. Your identity before God has changed. So when he looks at you, he sees Jesus in you. When he looks at you, he sees his greatness in you. He sees his worth in you. He sees his value in you. And we oftentimes miss this. We think when God looks at us, that he looks at us in our unrighteousness. No, but what he sees is his righteousness in us because it's Jesus in me. That's my new identity. When he looks at me, he sees a child of God. He sees a son of God. He looks at you and sees a daughter of God. And oftentimes we think, oh, we're orphans and fatherless. No, because Jesus is in me. That's how I identify. I'm a new creature. I identify with Jesus. And God can settle your identity issue today. Suddenly he can do it. You can be who he says you are, and you can do what he says you can do. And you may not have had an earthly father or mother affirm you, but if you listen right now, you will hear your heavenly Father speaking to you. What we have to do is quiet all the other voices. And this is where I pray in the Holy Spirit. Because oftentimes I'll wake up or I'm doing something and I hear lies, 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 lies. And I pray in the Holy Spirit and they quiet down and I can hear the voice of God affirming me. You're my beloved. I'm pleased with you. That's my identity. That's my identity. It all starts with hearing his voice. And I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit will set us all free of these lies. Amen. Come on, say it with me. Say, I am a child of God. Say it. I please my heavenly Father. Come on, say it. I please my heavenly Father. Do you believe that? Won't you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray for two groups of people in here this afternoon. Those who need to identify with Jesus first in salvation, and then those who are having an identity crisis, which I believe there's a group of you in here today struggling with something. It could be background, it could be economic status, it could be something that a random voice said that has formed your thinking about yourself. Holy Spirit's going to set us free today. Here at Key Point Church, we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Maybe you're in here today and you say, Pastor Casey, I need to get saved. I don't know if I'm promised eternity. Well, listen, if you don't know, then you're not. Why would Jesus die on the cross? So that you could wonder. He didn't. You can be sure today. And here's how we do it here at Key Point Church. We pray and we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So let's do that together. Everybody out loud with me. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. Say, Jesus Christ, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I confess you as my new identity. Jesus, you are in me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer and that was your response this morning, here's what I want you to do. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. And that confession is an outward expression of what just took place. I meant it, Pastor Casey. That was my response. I prayed that prayer. I'm not going to make you get out of your seat, but I am going to ask you to respond by raising your hand. If you're in here and you prayed that prayer, and you need to identify with Jesus and allow him to come in your life today, then raise your hand right now. Come on, raise your hand around the room. Yeah, yeah, quickly, raise your hand. Don't delay. Yeah, thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Wow, thank you. The entire family. Thank you, young man. Come on, raise your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else before we move on? 5 more seconds. Okay, thank you. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, I want to pray for those who are having an identity crisis. Maybe it's simply you've accepted lies, the lies of the enemy, just lying to you about who you are. Could be about your physique. It could be about your past. It could be maybe something that you've been dealing with. Could be a past divorce. Maybe a business failure. Lying. Right there is sitting. Just raise your hands. And when you raise your hands, God's going to set you free. My hands are up because there's something I deal with. And I'm ready to see God come and re-identify me so this crisis can be gone in my life. Father, I thank you. You see every heart. You see every hand. Lord, we are so bombarded with lies every day. Lies about this, lies about that. And I pray even our teenagers in here at a young age understand how powerful identity is. It's not in what their peers say, but Lord, it's what you say. And Lord, I pray that at an early age, they hear God. Even our children right now under Pastor Brian, they begin to learn how to hear your voice. Those in the nursery, they'll begin to hear your voice, God. Because Lord, when we hear your voice, Lord, it's a game changer. So Lord, right now, speak to us. Speak to us. Speak to every person in this room, Lord. It has nothing to do with our past, but Lord, you're coming to seek us out because we are yours, God. And Lord, I thank you. We're never going to forget that. God, I praise you, and I give you all the glory. In his Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.